Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, if your home has been vandalized or robbed in the Seattle area, well, you have a lot of company. Seems that Seattle ranks 5th on the list of cities with the highest property crime rates. And as it is defined, property crime is a crime that involves the theft or destruction of property without the use of force or threat of force against the victim. Now, obviously, crime is not the only threat to your home. A couple in Canada, they came home from walking their dog to find their house covered in dust. Now, they weren't sure what happened until they reviewed their home security video. And it turns out that a meteorite had crashed in their front yard.
No!
By the way, the odds of that happening are about 1 in a few trillion. In other words, it ain't going to happen to you. Now, your home might be your sanctuary, but it also seems like the place where the weirdest stuff happens. A guy in Southern California, he was happy to have a home to return to after the wildfires, somehow spared his house, but a 525-pound bear took up residency there while he was gone. Meanwhile, in Romania, a woman who made no contact with anybody for a few days, well, someone did a wellness check at her house, and that's when they found her half-eaten body. She was eaten by her pugs. No one is sure her pugs. Yeah, no one is exactly sure what happened to her, and an investigation is underway. Now, that's when you wish a home could talk, right? But then you think to yourself, would I want my house to talk? I probably would not. But today, we're talking home and the strange, stupid, and crazy things that have happened there. So today's question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is what was the crazy that went down at your home?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Home Patrol's away we go. Welcome to season 20 and episode number 4,253. What a large and in charge program we have for each today. Guaranteed future repeat, man. Oh, man, what a late night. Going on with some tongue twisters for 10 and 10 versus the FCC, which is on the way at 4:35. Lo and behold, late night last night. Didn't feel great today. Mm-hmm. Any stretch of the imagination. Would you believe we have a listener submitted 10 versus the FCC?
Oh, son of a bitch.
All that work. It's about Shifty Shelley.
Oh, her.
And her cute little runt of a kitty, Tilly.
Oh.
Yes. So we're going to talk cats today.
Yeah, cute
on Ted versus the FCC, because Ted got one in the win column last week.
Yes.
So we have a brand new Ted versus the FCC.
Oh, I did win last week, didn't I?
You did win.
I forgot.
Aren't you glad? Because I don't think you want to do that one again.
Yeah, there was a little discrepancy as I cursed just reading it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The false start, we called it. So Casey says, rock on and good luck, Ted. So Ted versus the FCC coming up at 4:35. Don't forget, if you want to join us 1 week from today at Black Raven Brewing in Woodinville, we'll do a little live Ted versus the FCC in front of a studio audience. It is absolutely free, as we'll broadcast from 2 to 6. And launch the brand new 20th anniversary lager from Black Raven. It is a fantastic beer for your weekend drinking pleasure.
Yes, it is.
Maybe you're one of those people who decided to do something stupid like Castle did in a dry January and not have one drink the entire time. He did say he is waiting for 1 week from today to have his very first beer of 2025 at our party.
He's going to get smashed, man.
It's going to happen quick.
I think he might drink between now and then, but he's waiting on that beer.
Correct.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Because he did the dry January. He'll probably, because he's doing the diet thing, so probably have one. Is it vodka sodas, gin and tonics, one of those?
Yeah, tequila limes, who knows?
White Claws, whatever he's doing. But either way, yeah. The party's absolutely free, by the way. You will be a part of the live studio audience. Ted versus the FCC will go down. You will witness it live, and it's coming up today at 4:35. Okay, what else do we have for you? We will drink and toast in the weekend, and it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Come on. And we do celebrate the end of a dry January today on a Bad Choice Friday. Question from a technical standpoint, Ted.
I am maybe
unfamiliar with this thing they call dry January and the formatics of it. Do people who have abstained, is tonight the night that they get a beverage?
Or do you have to wait until
tomorrow?
1st.
Because I would think it would be better to get one tonight at dinner than it would to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and crack a beer.
If you've made it 31 days, go ahead and have a beer at dinner if you want.
Especially on a
Friday. I think there's other people, too, that are like probably going, I'm just going to keep going.
Well, you know what? That's a good point.
That's what my cousin did. He did a dry January, and it's lasted 6 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
He was like, I'll take a month off. And then he was like, I'll try two. And then he was just like, yeah, I got four kids. I think I'm done drinking.
No, he's done six dry Januaries.
Hey, he's been on a heater, Miles.
Man, that's unbelievable.
6 years.
So we're going to take both sides on the end of dry January, a Bad Choice Friday. Your first option would be the one and only Amy Winehouse. Fact, Amy Winehouse did not go to rehab.
Fact. She sure did not.
She did not.
The woman who stands by her word.
Amy Winehouse and rehab taking on Blake Shelton and Post Malone on a Bad Choice Friday.
Somebody pour me a drink. Somebody pour me a smoke. I'm about to get on a buzz. I'm about to get on a roll. Yeah, I've been breaking my back. Just keeping up with the Joneses. Y'all know what I mean. And y'all know how it goes. When it's up on
Blake Shelton and Post Malone, a duet about love, and Pour Me a Beer. Take it on Amy Winehouse and Rehab. If you follow us on X, the poll is up now at Men's Room Live.
I just read something recently. So Blake Shelton, he's known to drink, right? Dude owns a bar. He likes to drink. He likes to throw down. That's a good time. Parties. Good guy. He said, I cannot keep up with Post Malone. He said, you... Apparently, Post Malone drinks like Willie Nelson smokes weed.
Okay.
He was just like, look, man, I'm a drinker, and I'm telling you, this guy will drink you under the table.
Right. Post Malone, who's a Bud Light guy, and then we were talking about Shane Gillis, who we go see tomorrow. He's a Bud Light. They are legendary within those circles. Both
really?
Yeah. They're just they just talk about it. It's like, yeah. Like we do sometimes, right? I'll be like, yeah, Mike drinks. He doesn't drink like that.
Right.
Like, he'll come over and watch football. He's not shotgunning beers with me and Marshawn.
Right. Yeah.
Or if he is, he's going to need a nap.
You guys are shotgunning beers?
You know what, man? We shotgun one on New Year's Day. And I go, right. We really doing this? We said, and my buddy goes, we've been doing this every year for 10 years.
Yeah, why not?
I said, screw it. We'll still shotgun.
Okay. Good way to kick in the new year. So you're not celebrating a dry January?
No.
Okay, all right.
Wet January.
Yeah, mine's real wet.
I'd pick a different month, one that's not 31 days.
February.
Well, February's great except for the Super Bowl coming up. So that's always my mind. Like, I've got an excuse.
Or in April, it's 30 days.
Like, I'll say, no, it's President's Day. And you know me, man. I throw down on that Monday. Whatever it is, I'll find it.
I do know that about you.
I'll find a reason. I can't do that.
President's Day, dude. Yeah. Come on.
WNBA playoff start. I'm not doing that, Marge. Come
yeah.
on.
Jesus. Right? Get real.
I'm not going to Climate Pledge and not getting a beer. You kidding me?
Yeah. I definitely had a beer during the Globetrotters.
Why not?
Yeah. How much was your beer?
Oh, that was Climate Pledge. Probably like $17.
Yeah, guys.
I bought one for me and my buddy. And I was like, let's just sip these.
Oh, yeah.
Take your time. Blake Shelton, Post Malone, Pour Me a Beer, Amy Winehouse, and Rehab. Those are your two tunes on a Bad Choice Friday. And vote now at Men's Room Live. All right, let's see here. Our question today, we're going to talk about your house, your domicile, your place of residence, your apartment, whatever the situation is. It seems in life, there are weird things that go down, depend on where you live. Situationally, it could be when you were growing up. Mm-hmm. It could be when you lived alone. It could be when you were married with children. But one thing we know is, it's not always normal at your home. Especially if you own a home. As soon as you do that, you'll discover that everything that could possibly go wrong with a home will go wrong with a home.
Oh, for sure.
But we're going to talk about more of the obscure things today. And we start with a story from Bro Bible. And as you know, tens of thousands of people, they were forced to evacuate their homes because of the wildfires that swept through Southern California. That includes one man who returned to his home that thankfully emerged largely unscathed.
All right.
The scene unfolded in the area north of L.A. at the start of 2025. The string of wildfires broke out in that area, destroying more than 15,000 buildings that were in the path of the Santa Ana winds. That included the Eden Fire. That one is still being contained, by the way. Maybe the rain that came in today.
Hopefully it helped.
Yeah, could fully extinguish it, but 4,500 homes were destroyed because of that one fire alone. One man who evacuated his home needed some help getting his power back online after he got the green light to return. So the utility company shows up, and they need to crawl onto the crawl space of this guy's home where his box is to get everything turned back on.
All right.
However, he was informed there was going to be a slight delay after the workers, who then headed into the crawl space under his home, came across an intruder. A 525-pound bear had set up shop underneath this guy's house. They said this thing was one of the biggest. These people work for the Gaming Commission.
Yeah.
They came in and said that they had never seen or thought that a bear could be that big. The bear was so big that when they first went to tranquilize the bear, they realized that the bear was still awake. Ooh. Then, upon further thought process, they had the idea that when the bear turned after it was tranquilized and they saw the size of this guy, they're like, look, we can try again with a bigger dose. We don't know if we can physically, based on the amount of room that's in this crawl space and the size of this bear, get the bear out even if we tranquilize it.
So just the dead weight of the bear. Like, we can't drag it out.
You can't. Who's going to pull this damn thing out of there?
I mean, in theory, was he just hibernating, and that's why he was so fat?
You know what? Very, very well could have been.
I mean, I don't know.
But he was awake when they went to crawl under the home. So I don't know if there are.
How much poop would shoot out of you, right? You just think of some routine utility thing. We're going to go down there in the crawl space, and there's a 525-pound bear that's awake looking at you.
Right.
I would attack.
So what they did was.
Yeah, I'd quit.
They're
like, I'm done. It's go time.
Yeah. They found the biggest trap they had, and they put it outside of this guy's house, and they baited it with whatever. And the bear did go into the trap. So he was captured, and then he was relocated into Angeles National Forest.
All right.
So he's still alive. The bear's okay, but I think it was a shock to the utility workers who came in to...
You don't say!
...try to get him back home and get him into his house. That there was, a 525-pound bear... It was living underneath it.
I like the fact that they shot him with the tranquilizer and, like, dude, he's still looking at us.
Correct. Now, could you think of the other scenario? Maybe the utilities were not cut off. Maybe
he's still looking at us. Maybe
I mean, like, he's not sleeping, guys.
Maybe the box and all the things were not under the house. And this guy returns home. He is living with a 525-pound bear underneath his house and has no idea until he finds out.
Right. And imagine, like, you open your kitchen window, you start cooking food. Now that bear wants to eat the food and you go, oh, no.
Right.
This is an issue.
What's more dangerous than a 525-pound bear? An idiot human being. And as they say, home is where the heart is and where most of your stuff is. That's why it can feel so violating when burglars, arsonists, vandals, they take aim at your abode. Well, equipment from surveillance video They looked at 45 of the most populated cities in the U.S. to see which ones actually had the highest property crime rates.
All right.
As well as the number of total property crimes committed per 100 people. Without further ado, here are the 10 metro areas that may need a personal security overhaul. We'll start with number 10, a city I've never been into, San Antonio, Texas, with 22 instances per 100 people.
Damn.
Yes.
That's really high, man.
San Francisco, California, number 9, with 23 instances every 100 people.
All right.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I know absolutely nothing about, but apparently property crime is a big deal. Out of 100 people, 24 people are affected. Same with Minneapolis at 7. Albuquerque, New Mexico, also 25. So one-fourth of the population, somebody's effed with their house.
Jeez.
Or stolen something from their house. Guess who's at number 5? Be proud. Seattle, Washington, 25.8%. One in four people has had someone mess with their house.
Yeah, not my current house, but when I lived in Greenwood, that's when the kids spray-painted, not just my house, a bunch of houses, and Big F you said, went hunting them down with an axe, did not find them that night.
Right.
Only to find out that the kids literally lived at the end of the frickin' block, and that's what bugged me the most. Like, guys, if you're gonna vandalize people's homes, maybe don't do it on the street you live on. I had plenty to say, I will say, for the next, like, 2 years or whatever, year and a half, I lived there. Because I'm a smoker, I was outside a lot, and they'd see me, and they called me sir every single time. Every time. Because they realized, oh, that's the guy with the axe who was going to cut our hands off if he found us.
From the property crime stats, who's worse in Seattle? Who are the top four? Denver is number 4 at 27 out of 100 homes.
Denver, huh? I would have thought San Fran and us would be number 1 and number 2.
Oocland, California is number 3, so
I'm not
far off.
I'm just not.
But Oakland also just has crime. Forget property crime.
Right. It
but
has
this
crime.
Is just property crime.
Yeah. Right.
So one in three people, if you live in Oakland,
God,
someone has messed with your house.
What's the term they use down there? Like they just, you pull up and basically they just have this little tool that breaks glass.
And they'll start just walk up to your car while you're in it.
I mean, generally they watch you get out, but they call it like bipping or something.
I don't know.
It's like a term. And it happens all the time.
What is a horrible town, the most horrible town on the West Coast as far as property crime?
Portland. Sacramento.
Portland, Oregon, 1 in 3 homes, 29.6%.
Damn.
And the number one city that has the highest property crime rates at 34.4
Jesus.
Property crimes per 100 people. We were talking about it yesterday, Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow. Yeah, Memphis got like open.
Because you guys said, if you're not on Beale Street,
you don't want to be in Memphis.
You don't want to be in Memphis.
That is correct.
Okay. Our question. What was the crazy that went down at your home? 206-803-ROCK.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam
on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question on the So-So Positive Friday, what was the crazy that went down at your home? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
All right, so while on holder, you guys reminded me of Animals in the House story. They have an inside-outside cat, and she used to bring in a lot of dead animals, and one time she brought in a bat, and it wasn't dead. And I got a fishing net out trying to catch it, but, you know, their sonar reflexes outwitted me. And luckily, it just went out the window. But
how long were you chasing this bat around?
Dude, probably like 10 minutes. But anyways, my story. When I was 18, back before weed was legal, I was selling it and doing pretty well. And I had a small group of friends, like three dudes that really close with. And this one guy had stayed the night at my house this Monday. And then on Friday, I woke up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to my little black lab Cocker Spaniel, like nudging my hand while I was asleep. And, you know, God rest her soul, Zoe, she was the best dog. But, I woke up and I heard my drawers like opening and closing, cause that's where I kept my money at the time. But, luckily I had just moved it to a different spot, just out of who knows what. But anyways, I woke up and I said, "What the F are you doing?" Thinking it was my dad going through my stuff. But then all of a sudden I heard these giant footsteps running down my freaking stairs, because I lived upstairs. And one of the dudes I hung out, he was like 6'3", 6'4", 300 pounds. And it was him. He had broken into my house that Friday and was going through my drawers trying to find my money. And I had a sawed-off shotgun at the time. I took that after I figured out it wasn't my dad. And I went to the back door. He was like, we had 10 acres, so he's running through our field. And I just shot like towards him just blindly, and no way it was going to hit him, you know, just scare him off. But called the cops after that, and they came out and they ended up finding him. And he came up with a story that he was at his mom's house, which is on the, there's these connecting roads. But anyways, they're very far apart. But yeah, he said he was at his mom's house, and it made no sense. His story, anyway, he went to jail and he had burglarized someone else in our friend group, like, years before that. But
how much preparation after you call the cops, knowing that you're selling weed, how much preparation do you have to go through before they get to your home?
Well, you know, obviously I don't tell them why I know, or I think I know that he broke in. I don't say anything about that. But luckily, he had taken one of my dad's prescription bottles and like dropped it in the field, and they found it. And so that was kind of like
okay,
their fallback to why he did it.
Because like, if I'm selling drugs, man, even if someone robs me, I'm just not, just me personally, I'm not calling the cops. Like, I'm pissed, obviously, but like, I'm not going to bring
this
to my home.
So is this the home you grew up in?
It was the home I grew up in, yeah.
Okay. And was your dad actually home and sleeping at the time?
He was home and sleeping at the time, and he knew that I sold weed, so it wasn't really a big deal. And lucky for me, I was sold out of weed at the time, so I had nothing but cash on me and nothing else besides that.
All right. Okay.
Would you have called the cops if you had, I don't know, like you got 2 pounds of weed in your closet?
No.
Okay.
There's no way.
All right. Yeah, that's my thought.
Yeah, my parents would not be cool then.
What, selling weed?
Oh, yeah, man, no problem.
I don't think my mom flipped out when I was selling the porn magazines in high school. You know, I mean, she really, really lost her S. And as a parent, I can kind of see it. But the whole time, we're living in Baltimore at the time. I'm like, man, I'm not selling guns. I'm not selling drugs. Like, there are so many worse things going on at this high school. I'm just providing guys with an erection.
Yeah. Our whole thing was hiding places in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
So anything that we knew damn well that we did not want to get busted with, we had a hiding place in the woods.
So in addition to porn, what else is out there?
There were bottles of alcohol.
Oh, yeah, good call. Right.
One of my buddies, his condoms. He would keep condoms out there.
Really?
Yep. Just whatever. I know.
We had one spot we hid porn, but I think that was it.
I guess we did hide booze. I didn't hide booze in my home because that... the porn, like, my mom was mad because I was selling porn. They did not necessarily care that I had porn. Right. My mom did, but she explained to me years later. She goes, my father kept saying, he's 15. Like, this is as healthy of a thing as you go, just leave him alone. Don't broach right. the topic.
My buddy's parents were just really, I'm trying to remember the name of the religion, but it's very, very religious.
Yeah.
So the idea of him having condoms in high school was not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would
have been like Seventh Day Adventist or something.
He was yeah, and I can't remember what it was, but either way, if his parents found out, he would never be able to go out and use the car, go on a date. He was adamant about not having those things at home.
Dude, when I was in high school, if I had a box of condoms, the only question my father would ask is, you plan on opening it ever? Like, I'm trying.
Right. Well, I kept mine under the seat of my car for the exact same reason. Because my parents found it, and they did find out what I was doing, eventually through a different means, but right. I had them under my seat. Well, you're not supposed to keep condoms in your car, especially in the summertime.
Correct.
They heat up, and then they don't do their job. And guess what? They did not do their job. So that was...
Was that like the first time your wife got pregnant?
No, this was back in when I was in high school. I looked down, and there was just a ring there.
Oh, dude.
And the rest of the thing was gone.
Did you have to go on the recovery mission?
She went on reconnaissance. I did not.
I was asked to do, like, oh, my God, right? It's like the condom's just gone. Mm-hmm. It was off. And it's like, can you go in there and get it? And it's such a weird, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a human-sized puppet's on your hand all of a sudden. And you're fishing around. I'm like, hey, found it. It's pretty gross.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty gross.
What was the crazy that went down at your home? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So back during COVID, everyone was on that gardening tip, and we decided to take it one step further and get a cow. And when we got the cow,
why did you get a cow? I mean, I understand people garden, but it never occurred to me, like, you know what, babe, let's also get a cow.
Let's get a cow.
I think it was a COVID purchase.
Okay.
And so anyways, it ended up being a little malnourished.
That's a big purchase, man. It's like you got drunk and ordered stuff off Amazon.
It's just so unusual. No, yeah. I've just never heard it. So, we decided to get a cow. So you got a cow.
Yes.
Did you have a place to put it? Or did you have to build a facility?
Well, it was in the backyard, for sure.
Okay. Backyard cow.
Yeah, Miles, put it in the backyard.
All right.
I wasn't in Seattle. It was Spanaway. anyway, so it was getting sick, and we had to take it inside to take care of it. And we had tarps down on the floor in the kitchen, and that was, like, the biggest area it could get into because it's a small calf. It could fit in there, but it got diarrhea, and it was gallons in the kitchen on the floor. So I just stayed in my room for about a week, and that was the crazy.
But what does the cow do? So now it's in the house, it's in the kitchen, it has diarrhea.
Yes, it's getting like bottle fed nutrients to get better.
Do you still have this cow?
It is on a farm now, and the coolest part about this story is its name, Moosifer.
Moosifer. I dig it, man.
Is this a dairy cow or a meat cow?
Neither. It's a pet cow.
Oh,
so you got this cow as a pet?
Yes.
What was your thing? Like,
this isn't me. This was an ex. Honestly.
So was it her idea?
Yeah, absolutely.
And did you put up any fight with this? Like, are you sure you want to get a cow?
No, no.
Did you?
It was not the only animal, you know, that lived in that house.
What else lived in the house?
Well, most recently, a possum.
Possum.
Okay.
A possum.
As a pet. And you could go to sleep, and you could get a good night's sleep knowing there's a possum in your house.
Well, they had a cage.
Okay. All right.
What do possums eat? Like, if I have a pet possum.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't live in that house anymore. It has a lot of animals.
All right. What other animals?
Right now, just a bunch of dogs. Still called a tortoise.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you become close with a cow? Were you guys tight?
I'm a little standoffish to big animals to begin with. So, but it does run around and play like a dog would run around and chase you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think the cow liked you?
Yes.
All right. I just don't know how this works.
I don't know what to expect from a cow if I have it as a pet.
Yeah. Is he going to follow me around everywhere? Is he looking forward to becoming home? Does he want to pet my belly? I mean,
it'll follow you around like a
like a dog.
Pull on its udders. I mean, I don't know what they like.
What did you name the possum? I'm curious.
Mimsy.
Mimsy?
Yep.
Mimsy the possum. And how long does a possum live on average?
Well, I don't know that. I know that they need... So what had happened was my kid found the possum, and it had been dropped off by its parent, and it's not going to get picked up. So she nurtured it back 4 months and then put it back in the wild.
Ah, okay. A possum.
I'll be dead.
Wow.
Oh, they're just too ugly. I would be afraid to be... sharp teeth.
They are an ugly, ugly ass.
Ugly tail. You know, the whole package. There's nothing attractive.
Do people eat possum? I'm sure people have eaten possum.
I'm sure somebody has, but I can't...
Do you think it'd be good? Like, if someone had a possum burger or possum chili, would you give it a try?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, when you think of that, when you think of raccoons, you think of these animals.
Sure, sure.
I just traditionally don't think about eating them. I'm sure that people have. I just don't know that that's my cup of tea.
I feel like I've heard of people eating raccoon. I'm not sure that I've heard of people eating possum.
Well, there is a roadkill law that's in certain states, and people do take possums home and do whatever they're going to do with them.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're right. People eat it. For the most tender meat, a juvenile or pre-breeding possum is best.
Oh.
Well, that I do. Yeah, of course.
What was the crazy that went down at your home? 206-803-ROCK.
Sir, would you like some possum? Has it ever bred? No.
Ted's very picky. Ultimate foodie.
Yeah, that I will take it.
Ooh, that'd be an interesting show. Roadkill foodie.
There's a roadkill thing. I want to say it's West Virginia. It might be Kentucky. Yeah. But it's somewhere down in that area, and they literally have a festival with roadkill.
Well, they have a law that they passed probably 10 years ago. If you hit a deer, and it's not deer season.
Right.
If the deer is incapacitated, you can take the deer home with you.
I mean, what else would you do?
Well, the people were doing it, and then, you know, you're driving with a deer hanging out of your car or on top of your truck or whatever the deal is, and it's not deer season. And so, you know, people were getting trouble. Because if you see somebody, like, even somebody will report you.
I get it, but it's like, dude, I didn't shoot the deer. I did not hunt it.
No.
It got hit by a freaking car.
There's a reason that the front of your car is completely jacked. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, you're not trying to hit a deer. But if I do, and I can get something out of it.
Well, a lot of times people, the way the deers are and the way their weight is distributed, you'll take the legs out on a lower-end sedan. Sometimes the deer just hits the windshield and ricochets off the top of the car. There's no real damage to the car.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. What do they say? The speed up, right? That's the thing.
Do not hit the brakes, because if you hit the brakes on a front-wheel drive car...
It goes up a little.
It will lower the front of the car.
So you want to hit it higher.
You want to gas.
I think it depends on the size.
Even of the deer? But I feel like have a lot of time
through,
to make
like, open range, where there's, like, cows on the road and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That was me and my buddy. We had, like, a giant van. We were like... He goes, if you see a cow, just speed up. Like, if you break, like, we're going to crash or something bad's going to happen.
Cows are like, don't do that. By the way, a couple texts came in. It says, my mother has an old-time cookbook. It does have a recipe for possum. And someone else says, President Taft attended a possum and taters banquet in 1909.
I'll just take the taters.
Yeah.
What was the crazy that went down at your home? 206-803-ROCK.
I was also part of that bluegrass band.
What's possum that? I'll take your taters?
Possum and taters.
Oh.
I was taters.
That does sound like some band out of New Orleans. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Possum. Special guest, Taters.
Right.
Hello, Tyrone. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitchos.
Hola.
All right, so first of all, COVID-19 guy before me, from the possum to the diarrhea, it all makes sense when he said it was Spanaway.
Spanaway. When you think cow diarrhea, you think Spanaway.
That made perfect sense. All right, so... I was living in a fourplex, and my neighbors upstairs to the right, I heard them come home, and they come flying down the stairs and ask if my smoke alarms are going off, and their downstairs neighbor apartment was just full of black smoke. So I saw that, and first thing I did is I kicked the door in to try to put out the fire as everybody else calling 911. And when I got inside with the girl that was living there had done, is she was drying her clothes and left the timer going and just opened her door, grabbed the clothes out of the dryer, and the wind blowing through caught the dryer on fire.
Oh, jeez, wow, man.
Right. I didn't even know that's how they worked.
Yeah, me neither. That is good to know.
I'm glad to help you. But so, you know, the fire department shows up, and there was a little bit of an attaboy, but they were so mad at the dude and I that went in there to try to put the fire out because they said it was just minutes from flash fire.
I mean, look, right. They know that, but I mean, the average person, yeah. Like, you don't know that.
You don't know if someone's incapacitated in there.
Right.
Well, you don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. And they got animals upstairs, and that's what we tried to tell. Well, things were we're going to lose our home, man. This isn't just some place, you know?
Right, that too. Yeah. I don't want my place to burn down. That's fair.
Right.
Man. Okay. Yeah, I've never been a first responder to a fire. I've never been the first. I have gone places where there have been homes burning down. And well,
it goes back to Herky.
But I have never been the first person there to, you know, try to lend any kind of assistance.
I mean, I guess that's the standard move, right? So if you saw that a home was on fire, I guess you call 911, and then do you try to enter the home to make sure no one's in there? Or pets, or whatever it might be.
I mean, if you're the first person there, you do.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's...
But you'd be surprised. You can only get so close to a fire depending on how...
It gets hot, man.
I feel like generally, if a civilian runs into a house, you probably hear somebody scream.
Probably, but a lot of times, you know, if it's someone who's older, a lot of times, you know, people are dead asleep.
Yeah.
And some, because, you know, like the upstairs on fire, they're asleep on the sofa downstairs and don't know. Or if there's a little kid in there.
Yeah, I would wait for noise.
Really?
Yeah. Like if I rolled up, it's just starting. I just don't know that my first instinct would be like, better check it. Better clear this house.
I think I would check.
I would scream to see if I could hear anybody in there.
Right.
I would go all the way around the perimeter and try to get as close to the home as I could and enter, hopefully, where the flames are not.
That would be, preference.
Know, all those things, and then, you know, make a determination after that. I'm no fireman. I definitely would call 911.
I mean, the closest I've gotten to saving something was a chair. We were at Burning Man. We were lighting our fire pit, right, as we were staying with a conclave of fire dancers. So one guy, I don't know if he was already drunk or whatever, but he spilled, like, the white gas.
Yeah.
So, like, this giant, like, flame goes up out of nowhere, and there's these plastic chairs, and it looks like they're about to catch fire. And I don't know what got in my head, but I ran over, grabbed them, and, like, as I threw it, like, a flame, like, shot by my arm. Everybody was like,
whoa.
Yeah, it was like, oh, man, that was so cool. And I go, I shouldn't have done that.
We're talking about checking to see if if an infant or an old person is incapacitated in their home, or maybe save pets, and your hero story, saving a goddamn plastic chair at Burning Man.
Two.
All right.
But they were there for the rest of the week.
They were, Miles, and people had places to sit.
Yes. You are a hero. Not all heroes wear capes, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't like pat myself on the back, but sometimes you got to.
You think there's anyone that's like, get the chair.
Get the chair. I don't want to be standing for 3 days.
Wow, yeah. That is heroism right there. Thank God you're all right.
You're camped up with a conclave of fire dancers. I mean, it's just that the whole thing is a little bizarre to begin with. How did you hook up with a conclave of fire dancers when you yourself are not a fire dancer?
Our buddy Brad the Meat Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a fire dude? Or?
He plays the drums for him.
Oh, he does?
For real?
Yeah. Does he cook meat on their fire?
No, we have a kitchen. I cook on bird night. I take that burden upon myself.
Ah, okay.
Plus, frankly, everybody's so mad at each other getting ready on bird night. I just stay in the kitchen. It's like a real family adventure at that point.
Our question, what was the crazy that went down at your home? 206-803-ROCK.